Bob, we've talked a lot in the last few weeks about the struggle for information, and I was surprised to see that you've actually found some of what you're looking for from the state rather than from UMC.
You know, we've been asking for quite some time a very fundamental question, and that's, you know, are COVID-19 vaccines going to the people who need them most? We know, for example, that people over 65 are more likely to suffer serious complications and die of COVID. We know that communities of color are disproportionately impacted. And so we've been asking these questions for both the City of El Paso and University Medical Center, which run the two big vaccine hubs. Both of them are basically refusing to let the public know whether vaccines are getting to the people who need them the most. Fortunately, the state's taken a bit more of a transparent approach. They update data every day by county that lets you look at the sex, age, and race and ethnicity of the people who have been vaccinated. And I have to say that the information is really incomplete. For a long time, vaccine providers weren't capturing race and ethnicity data, for example. But even with the limited data, we can tease out some issues that El Paso is going to have to face. Men are getting vaccinated at much lower rates than women are, which is troubling because we know that men are far more likely to die of COVID-19 complications. The other concerning issue involves El Paso's black population. Blacks make up about 4% of our population here, but they only make up about 1% of the people who've been vaccinated, at least for the data where race and ethnicity is available. So those are two challenging issues that El Paso needs to face. In addition to the transparency issue, our community needs to know whether vaccines are being delivered at both an efficient and effective manner. And the only way to do that is for the governments that are providing the vaccines to share that information with the public.
Well, another tragic side effect of the pandemic is the inability to grieve in traditional ways. So, of course, people get creative, including the woman you have a story on.
Yeah. So, you know, as everybody knows, during the pandemic, the grief process has been really difficult. People can't be in the hospital with their loved ones in their last days. Funerals are highly restricted. So, you know, on top of losing a loved one, you have this difficulty grieving properly. And so there's a woman in Juarez named Erendira Guerrero who has created a project called Memory Bears, which are essentially little teddy bear-like things that are made of clothing that was worn by the loved one. And Angela Cacherga spent some time talking with Mrs. Guerrero and some of the people who've had these memory bears made for them. And it's really touching, and you can tell that it brings, you know, some degree of solace to people who are still grieving. One of the photos we have in there shows the woman buckling up her her little memory bear in her car as she tries to remember her father who she lost. Recently.
Brings a tear to my eye just listening to you talk about it.
Yeah, it's very moving.
Mm-hmm. A very sad situation for El Paso City employees who have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of furloughs and now dozens of layoffs.
Yeah, and this affects not only the employees themselves, but also El Pasoans who rely on these city services. And we should say at the outset that most of the 75 people whose positions are being eliminated work in our public libraries. The city, in normal fashion for them, kind of refuses to provide any specific numbers, but they do acknowledge that most of the eliminated positions work in the libraries, and they say that they're offering other positions in the city government to these workers who've been on furlough since last May, but the positions may pay lower than what they had been making, and they also obviously have to have the qualifications for whatever jobs are open. They're going to have 24 hours to basically decide whether to take a job that's been offered to them. The real, I think, the longer-term concern for the community is with these deep cutbacks, that Elida Pettis is identifying in her story. Our public library system coming out of the pandemic is going to be really weakened, and the city may have to talk about closing library branches, reducing hours, things like that. And this community obviously depends heavily on public libraries.
All right, Bob. Well, we'll see what happens next. Thank you for the update. You can find these stories and more at ElPasoMatters.org. Have a wonderful week.
You too.